We are hoping to have a sermon from Mr. Armstrong. It is one that we have heard before. It's one we actually played just over 2 years ago. But the quality of the one that was played just over 2 years ago, I don't think it's as good as the one that we've got now. The actual quality of the voice is very much better. So I thought we'd go ahead and play that. It's on the Church in Prophecy, and I think that it is very useful for us to listen to what Mr. Armstrong had to say about Philadelphia and also what he had to say about Laodicea. And this is one of the few places that you can go and actually find Mr. Armstrong commenting about Laodicea. What I thought I'd do for the news analysis is to tie it in to the sermon that Mr. Armstrong will give. Because when this was given back in 1981, it was a certain world, and Mr. Armstrong was looking at a certain world. Today, we're looking at a very different world. And I'm not saying that I'm going to hit every single aspect that is different, but I thought I would just go through the news, which I did, just for this past week. In fact, I almost limited it just to one single paper, which was Monday's paper, because literally, after I'd torn out all the bits I wanted, the bits that were left was about three sheets. The rest of it was in here. But I think that that particular paper, plus other sheets that I've used, will give an indication of just how things have changed in the world. Now, the key that we have got to make sure that we understand is that we're not led by somebody who is dead. We are led by the same spirit that was leading that individual. We're led by the same individual who was the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. It must be that same spirit. It must be the same leadership today within the church. Wherever anything has not changed, where there is no change whatsoever, nothing changes. In the areas of doctrine, that certainly is the case. When we're looking at the news, however, we're told to watch. And we need to watch, and we need to be alert right the way through to the end time. And part of the preaching, including due season, is this news. Now, a great deal more is being done by Mr. Henderson in actually getting news to everybody. But I thought this would be quite useful to just go through the papers of this past week and just tear out certain aspects that are different today. If we turn over to Romans chapter 1 as a kind of introduction, Romans chapter 1, remember, this Bible, these scriptures are predominantly, as Mr. Armstrong pointed out, for the Philadelphia era of God's church. It was as if God allowed the printing press and the compilation of the Bible and the production of the Bible in the kind of translations that were necessary, King James predominantly, to be there ready to be used when Mr. Armstrong came onto the scene, when the gospel went to the world in power for the first time for 1900 years. And here in Romans chapter 1, you find here that it does say that, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, just to live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Now this is one of the things that was going to happen. They could see it at that particular time. But as you read through Romans 1 and you see the progression and the way in which it gets eventually into the education, as it says in verse 28, "And as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." And it's the word knowledge is the educational form of knowledge. And one thing that has happened, which is different from Mr. Armstrong's day, is the rise of evolutionary acceptance. And more than just evolutionary acceptance, there is an evangelical atheism today that was not there when Mr. Armstrong said what he did. Here we've got a television and radio. It says an almost religious devotion to Charles Darwin. It says the genius of Charles Darwin, Channel 4, seemed to offer a rare and pleasing prospect of Richard Dawkins enthusing about somebody he likes rather than yet again laying into somebody he doesn't like, i.e. God. It says the introduction to last night's opening episode looked quite promising as well. Dawkins grew almost dewy-eyed as he pulled up the superlatives and declared what an inspiration Darwin had been to him. But then it says, as it turned out, Dawkins couldn't keep in the positive approach for long. Within 45 seconds, he'd already announced that the main aim of the series is to persuade you that evolution offers a far richer and more spectacular view of life than any religious story, with the last two words delivered, of course, in particularly rhyming terms. So this is Richard Dawkins, who is notorious for this kind of view. That was from Tuesday's paper. This was in Monday, the day before. It said, Islam is importing creationism, says Dawkins. Richard Dawkins, the evolutionary scientist, has criticized Muslim parents for, quote, importing creationism into British schools. Professor Dawkins, who is frequently vocal about his atheism, also blamed the government for accommodating religious views and letting creationism be taught in schools. So this is not the way it was during Mr. Armstrong's day. Mr. Armstrong was able to go on air and say, now you go and get your Bibles, and turn to such and such a place, and people would actually have a Bible, and people would be able to turn to such and such a place. Today, certainly in Europe, that just simply is not the case. We live in a very different world, and it's an area that I feel that we do need to address more, and it's an area that I need to do something with in the websites. And it's an area that we as a church have got to recognize that people that we're dealing with on the outside, if we go to the outside world at all, you're not dealing with a biblically literate society at all. Another area as well that you find this new aggressive form is homosexuality. Now, homosexuality was still looked upon as something that, it was something that was tolerated, but not very pleasant, not very nice. But today, the view is very, very different. Here is the Archbishop of Canterbury saying that gay relationships are like marriage, says the Archbishop. Well, this is from, what paper is this one? This is from Thursday's paper. It says, the Archbishop of Canterbury has claimed that active homosexual relationships are comparable to marriage in the eyes of God. In private correspondence seen by the Daily Telegraph, Dr. Rowan Williams refutes the Anglican Communion's traditional teaching that homosexuality is sinful, and furthermore he expresses the hope that the Church will change its position to be more accepting of gay partnerships. Now that would never, ever have seen the light of day. He would have been struck off not just being Archbishop of Canterbury, but being a priest almost at all, to have come up and said something like that during the time when Mr. Armstrong was alive, back in 81, when he gave this analysis of the Church in prophecy. So we see a world that is very different, in this area. It has slid that much further into the mire. And as I say, what we're finding, just as the same as we find the atheism being evangelical and aggressive in its approach to life, we're also finding today that the homosexuality is being aggressive in its approach to life. There's another one here from Tuesday's paper. It says, we were wrong about gays and single mothers, says Tory. A senior Conservative has apologised for his party's past attitude towards homosexuals and single mothers. Michael Gove, the shadow education spokesman, insisted that the Conservatives, now notice where he's the shadow education spokesman, so he's talking about educating the young and trying to make sure the young are educated in a certain way. It says that the Conservatives have been wrong, quote, wrong to get hung up on homosexuality, end quote. In a speech to the Institute of the Public Policy Research, he said, quote, I think we indulged prejudice in the 80s and missed the point. It's not gay men who are abusing women and abandoning children, it's straight men. And the demand for civil partnerships and proper inheritance rights and equality in adoption rights from gay couples is not a rejection of commitment, but a desire to see commitment celebrated and publicly embraced. It's a right and moral. It reminds me of that lady that I remember talking to about a certain her daughter and a person she was marrying, and I said, this was back in the 70s, I think it was. So she said, asked me what I thought about the union that was about to take place. I said, well, the problem I see, because I knew some of the background of this individual, was the morality of him and whether in fact the marriage would last. And she said, it's probably absurd. Of course he's moral. He doesn't buy South African oranges. And that was her criteria. That was the criteria of morality. Now, the marriage didn't last. It lasted a few years and then was split apart. But morality is something that God defines. Again, the two trees, and the message of the two trees certainly goes and shows that graphically. But this is different. This aggressive homosexuality was not there. They're finding now in San Francisco that the police turn a blind eye to the full homosexual acts on the street during these, quote, gay pride. And again, you find in Scripture, it is the arrogance of Sodom that was criticized. And so we do need to make sure that we recognize the slide that has taken place. During the time of Mr. Armstrong, when he gave this sermon, the banking crisis certainly was there, and I would say that it was around about that time that it was probably the largest loss in British banking history. It took place in Lloyds Bank, and that was due to loans that were made across down to South America, and the South American crisis was on. I don't know whether it was the late 70s or early 80s, but it was around about that time. Today, however, the actual dollar itself is under threat. The actual bubble that is there, as was brought out in the update the other day, last week, that each bubble has got to be a bigger one to go ahead and compensate for the one that went before. The actual banking crisis is an internal crisis. Another area that was not there at the time when Mr. Armstrong was alive, there was terror. There was talk of nuclear terrorism, but today we have some real difficulties, certainly with Pakistan. Here is one from, Saturday's, August the, this is last Saturday's, August the 2nd. Pakistan admits that its spies are giving help to the Taliban. Now it says the Pakistani government conceded yesterday that members of its intelligence services were giving support to the Taliban. The unprecedented admission came after United States intelligence officials concluded that Pakistan's inter-services intelligence was implicated in the suicide bombing outside the Indian embassy in Kabul on July the 7th. Now remember, when you're looking at Pakistan, you're looking at the Islamic power that has the bomb. And another one says, Pakistan's deadly vendetta. It says, Musharraf's life may not be in danger, but few of his countrymen can say the same. He says, well, the politicians pursue their feuds, Pakistan's suffering poor may be tempted to turn to Al-Qaeda. So there is a real concern whether, in fact, out of Pakistan may come the terrorists that could do the kind of damage that is necessary. And I say necessary, Psalm 83, turn over to Psalm 83. This was a psalm, or this is a passage of scripture that was quoted when Mr. Armstrong was alive. I think it was Keith Stump actually brought out this particular passage. But it wasn't quoted prominently. But today we find ourselves in a world where Islam has a much greater hold on the course of the world and the terror within the world. And the Mahdi and the things that are coming out of Iran certainly have a great bearing on the world as we look at it today. It says in Psalm 83, it says, do not keep silence, O God, nor hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people, and consulted against your hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they consulted together with one consent, and are confederate against you. The tabernacle of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarines, Gebo, and it goes on, it says also Asher, verse 8, is joined with them. Now Asher is Assyria. Now we recognize Asher and Assyria as being part of this confederacy with Europe, but we did not put the Arabs as part of that confederacy. And it is an area that we need to make sure that we watch. We watch in a way that if Mr. Armstrong was alive today, he would be pointing us to. He'd be pointing us to scriptures such as this, not saying that this replaces in any way the final rise of the Holy Roman Empire. But it is an area that we need to keep an eye on. One thing, that this is coming from Tuesday's paper, it says Iran threatens to close the oil route from the Gulf. It says Iran threatens to halt all shipping in the Gulf, thereby restricting oil supplies yesterday, as it defied pressure to close down its nuclear program in return for international assistance. So we watch that. We also see something else different when we're looking at the Middle East. Not only are we looking at the preparations for a new temple within the Middle East, which is far, far more advanced than was there when Mr. Armstrong was alive. These preparations are to a point now where they're actually having young people who are devoting certain time each day, or each week rather, a couple of hours a week, to furthering the temple and furthering the idea of the temple. But in addition to that, when we were down in Israel, there was an optimism within the country. The country was optimistic. The Sabra mentality, which Sabra is the Israeli name for the prickly pear, and they call the ones that are actually born in Israel the Sabras. And that Sabra mentality was aggressive, it was proud, they'd just won two wars with the Arabs. And there were old tanks all over the place back in the 60s when we were down there. But things are different today. It says Hezbollah, this is coming from last Saturday's paper, it says Hezbollah is ready for a new war with Israel. Hezbollah has built up its military arsenal significantly on Israel's border and is ready for a new conflict if provoked, for example, by an American strike on Iran. So the aggression that and the confidence that is now within the Arab nations is much greater than it was during that time when Mr. Armstrong gave what he gave. At the same time, the rise of China is something that we can always be watching, and certainly these Olympic Games. This is today's paper. It says, Beijing wows the world, while Moscow sends in the tanks. So remember, when Mr. Armstrong was alive, the Soviet Union was still there. Germany was still separated. That is all since Mr. Armstrong died. We're looking at a very different world. It doesn't mean to say that the fundamentals of prophecy have changed. They haven't. It'll be a resurrected Holy Roman Empire that then takes over Britain and America. But we need to be aware that there are certain things that have changed within the world scene. Instead of suddenly coming overnight, the whole world has slid silently in the direction we have been expecting. We're also finding the politically correct, compliant generation. One thing that we notice as we go through the airports is just how we are shuffled from place to place. It's almost, you know, all you have to do is just put a filter on your view of what's happening within airports, and you can see a concentration camp. You really can. That is in fact what's happening. People are being made compliant to go here, go there, don't go ahead and give any trouble, because if you give any trouble, you'll be off the flight. It's as simple as that. At the same time, apparently it says 49% of children were stopped from climbing trees because they're too dangerous. So children are stopped from climbing trees. 66% of children are not allowed to ride a bike to a friend's house without an adult. Now this has happened because of paedophilia that's come in. 73% of children are not allowed to surf the internet without an adult. You know, they're able to get on with their homework in peace and quiet, but not now. They've got to be supervised. 43% of boys find electronic or computer games their most challenging. And it's talking about parents, how they are told to stop taking the risk out of playtime. And it's talking about in America as well. It's not just a problem over here, but in America as well. Parents apparently are the bad guys at summer camps because they're constantly checking up on the children, because they're hovering because of the way that the society is going. And part of that is coming from the things that people are reading. I mean, there's an article here. This is from Monday's paper on the headline saying, Lad Mags Create Bad Fathers. These are the Playboy and well, there's Nuts and Zoo and various other ones that they're mentioning here. The way forward, this is from today's paper, is teach girls feminism at school, says the academic. So in other words, to get around this, what they do is they teach feminism. And so you swing from one thing to another. And the state surveillance is also something, as I mentioned, is something that we just simply did not have previously. We can see an insidious arising of this beast power. The power of the beast power is not necessarily from a direct attack. It might be. That's the way it may be. I mean, it may be that America goes down and a direct attack may well be the way in which it works, from who knows where. Maybe they aren't able to determine where that direct attack comes from. But something we also need to watch is the fact that this surveillance society that is occurring is rising actually in our midst. Another one here, ministers call for personal details of all air passengers. The Italian mayor is attacked over a fascist ban on city gatherings, apparently in Italy. The mayor of Italian city has been accused of aping Mussolini's fascist laws after he passed an edict banning groups of three or more people from congregating in parks and public gardens. Another one here, householders face a £110 fine, that's $220, for leaving the wheelie bin jar. And you can go through and see, I know we've done several times, that this kind of society is something that is arising within our midst. So we need to be aware that when we are looking at the world and when we're looking at prophecy, certain things have changed. It doesn't mean to say that the fundamentals of prophecy have changed. They haven't at all. But we need to look at today's society and today's world, realizing the change and realizing just how much further down the line that we are today as we look at these prophecies. And we need to be alert and we need to be watching those. It's not a case of just taking the things that were perhaps written or talked about back in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. And then say, well, that's the way it will go. No. It is a case that we look at the present society, the present world, the way things are right now, but we do it in exactly the same way, with exactly the same spirit, with exactly the same understanding as Mr. Armstrong had and the church had when this tape was given in 1981.